Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Jennifer Landa.
And I have just delivered that intro straight ahead for weeks on end now, Joseph. I've learned not to improvise on the intro. I put myself into a mental corner before coffee is finished during recording days.
Sometimes, you know, the intros are like, do I want to follow the directions that Google is suggesting? Or do I want to say, no, that's bonkers, Google. I'm going my own way.
Right. Go your own way. Hey, we're here to discuss Star Wars news, breaking news from a long time ago. We got some Kenobi numbers, what that might mean for a second season. We got some High Republic stuff. We've got a tease of Lego Star Wars coming your way, and this week in Star Wars history, and we're giggling and we're having fun. We're going to catch up shortly. Before we get to all that, let's remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 108,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, as always, have our 4Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. And we will have fun with that, too. All right, everybody. Hi. Welcome. Jennifer, how are you?
Good. Good. I'm good. Which sounds like I'm not good.
Yeah, that's a 2022, hey, you know, good.
Good. No worries. No worries, actually. Yes, I'm good. I just came back from Catalina, a weekend in Catalina.
Ooh.
Celebrating my daughter's birthday, Father's Day. And it was really funny. You know, we always love to wear our Star Wars shirts, and I was wearing mine because it's the only type of shirt I own. And we were out and about, and my mother-in-law was chatting with this group of people. And I don't know, I was just so tired. And then all of a sudden, one of the gentlemen said, I like your shirt. And I was wearing my Princess Leia shirt. And I, oh, thanks so much. And he said, we were just at Celebration. What? So immediately I perked up.
Yeah.
And I started talking with them. And I learned that one of them is a really talented cosplayer. And she created the most beautiful Tudor Palpatine costume.
What?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm. Oh, my gosh. It was this elaborately detailed gown, a headpiece, and she wore it to Celebration, and she met Ian McDiarmid while cosplaying as a character. Wow. She said that he loved it. You have to check it out. Her Instagram is at Binksy. B-I-N-K-X-Y. But to me, it was just like, this is why I wear Star Wars shorts, because you get to meet fellow fans and this talented costumer. She is a professional. So it was just so cool.
That's great. Yeah. And I like that attitude too, Jen, of you know, I sometimes find myself wanting to hide almost right. In these days, in this day and age. Oh, sorry. I just did the search. I did the Instagram search.
Yeah, right?
Oh, yeah, I found her because it said followed by Jennifer Landa. Yes. Wow. Yes. That is amazing.
So original. I just, wow. And the detail on the dress, it just, everything is just perfect.
That's amazing. And there's a McDiarmid picture there. Look at that. Yeah, that's, wow.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's a hell of a nice thing.
Stop the presses. That's impressive indeed.
It's impressive. And,
there's her photo of Catalina. This is definitely the person. All right. Yeah. We'll stop Instagram
stalking. It is true.
Jen Land is not lying. She met this person.
She also went to Starbucks. This is amazing.
Oh. Yeah.
But what I was saying before I cut myself off, Jen, I think you got the idea what I said. Yeah, in this day and age, sometimes it's like you don't want to start the conversation, but you know, choose hope. Choose hope. And you can meet wonderful people like this talented cosplayer, Binksy.
Exactly.
That's a great adventure. That's a great event. Mine was boring. So, Joseph, I hope yours is exciting because I'm going to have you end this round robin. But mine's an ongoing tale. A couple weeks ago, officially finally met your buddy Ken Plume, like connected. You've been seeing him in space, seen him in chats, and we connected. And then you had appeared on his show Force 5, and then I appeared on his show Force 5. Jennifer, we got to get you to appear on a show Force 5.
Yeah.
We'll make that happen. But Ken and I have been texting. He's been sharing me some wonderful videos of old Sesame Street stuff. We were talking about the Muppets. But he, being on his show, inspired me to go back out into my shed and pull out Star Wars figures to bring on a show. And then I had that, do I sell or get rid of my Funko Pops? Some Force Center listeners have commented, particularly on YouTube. I'll take them. So who knows? Maybe we'll have a virtual garage sale. But then that led to this weekend where I was having trouble opening the doors to my shed, the shed that's been mentioned on this show for years now. The grass our landlord had put back in, grew up around it, and I was actually ripping the shed apart anytime I opened the doors, like the plastic joints were ripping apart. So I had to put some brackets on. So I got the idea this week to dig up like a rectangle like trench in front of the shed, put gravel decorative rocks back into it so I could open the doors with ease. That took a lot of time, not a lot of money, but definitely a lot of back energy, all for Star Wars figures. I did that all for Star Wars figures because I just want a little bit more access to what's in my storage shed. And what do I do with those figures? Nothing. I just look at them through the boxes, not the boxes they're in, the plastic boxes containing the boxes.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was laughing at myself thinking, this is the links I'll go, just to know I can get to my Star Wars collection a little bit easier. So I blame that on Ken Plume.
Ken Plume is a great enabler of celebrating the things you love. It is his great skill to connect with people and get you excited about the things that you love and spend more time with them. Ken and I have had some really great talks about action figures, and I was on the hunt for his list as well at Star Wars Celebration of what he was looking for. So that's really great.
Amazing. So there you go. The love of figures will make you do weird construction projects at an advancing age. So, Joseph, I hope you had the most exciting weekend of all. But Catalina and Palpatine from another age is pretty exciting.
You know, no, Catalina and Palpatine cosplayer. Look, we screwed up the order. That is the most exciting Star Wars adventure absolutely possible. And I still agree with you. Like the wearing the t-shirt is sometimes like, ooh, am I accidentally going to end up in a negative conversation that's going to bum me out? But choose hope. Choose hope is a great way to say that, Ken. No, I had just kind of some fun little adventures, kind of a slow drip of wonderful Star Wars adventures amid a nice weekend. My wife and I haven't had like a weekend off together in, it feels like years, but it's been a couple months, honestly. So we recorded an episode of my podcast Obsessed about just the character of Obi-Wan Kenobi. And Sarah came up with all the questions. So it was really fun to have her sort of frame from her perspective. Like, what's the deal? Why do you like this character so much? Who is he? So that was a really fun discussion to have. And that episode is up now if people are interested. And I was able also to ask Sarah, like, I'm not too into Obi-Wan Kenobi, are you? Am I? Like, you can tell me from the outside. She's like, no, it's fine. It's fine. We went to this program that I really, really love that happens every summer in Los Angeles called Last Remaining Seats, where classic films are played in some of the old super fancy theaters in downtown Los Angeles. They don't always show movies. We went to the Los Angeles Theater and saw the old film The Women, which was a ton of fun. But then we went to this bookstore downtown that I love called The Last Bookstore. And if anybody's never been there, check it out. It's amazing. But the reason for all that is they had a great display of Star Wars books, which they've always had. But this time, what was really leading it was The High Republic.
Oh.
And I've been to like Barnes and Noble and like all the kind of normal bookstores that like, this is the latest Star Wars book. So it's on a, you know, end cap or, you know, an employee recommends. But The Last Bookstore is this kind of mix of old and new. And it's a real like celebration of books and literature. And it's got this end cap right when you come up and it says, you know, a long time ago in a bookstore far, far away, in the display is very carefully the three adult novels from the first phase of High Republic. And there's just something powerful about kind of seeing it all laid out there. Like, this is the trilogy. Obviously, there are many other High Republic books, but just such a celebration of that initiative in a place that isn't just, this is the latest book in the High Republic, so it's out on the end cap at Target, but a celebration of that initiative. That was really, really cool to see. Yeah. And then my final Star Wars adventure is, you know, Father's Day, obviously, talked to my dad, and I remembered to send him my photos of the astromech drummer from the Mandalorian experience, because I tried to explain it to him. He's like, so there's a droid and it has drums. Would that be interesting to you? And he's like, yeah, it's a drummer. And he loved it. So another hit for the astromech drummer.
Good. And another win for that display, the Mandalorian display and experience.
It's a gift that keeps giving, right?
Yeah. And I know what you mean too, about that what you're talking about, the last bookstore thing of, it's almost Star Wars in the wild in a way, even though it's a bookstore that's, you know, selling books, but also more importantly, celebrating books there. And it just feels a little different. And I love doing that. And like, that's what I kind of say, the Star Wars in the wild thing where you just kind of turn the corner and someone else loves it too.
Yeah. Yeah, and is really, really being celebrated. And the rest of their bookshelf for Star Wars stuff was picked over. And I've been there many times. And, you know, it's a mix of new and used. So sometimes it's really full. And it was picked over. It just feels like it's a good time for reading Star Wars.
Wow.
It is. Turns out people like this franchise. Proof remains. Well, we're going to get into the news where we talk about people loving this franchise or trying to figure out this franchise. I don't know. Numbers can mean a lot of things. We're going to dive in. Kenobi's numbers remain strong. I want to shout out the fine folks at Star Wars News Net, especially Grant Davis, who helped pull info from the Wraps article, which I'm sure was great. I just don't subscribe, so I can't get it. So thank you, Grant and the Star Wars News Net team. According to Parrot Analytics, Obi-Wan Kenobi is experiencing, quote, exceptional engagement numbers. Oh, engagement numbers. That phrase been tossed around these parts a lot lately. But experiencing exceptional engagement numbers, coming in at 40% higher than other streaming shows. Kenobi was at 39.2 last week, so it is trending up. This follows the very impressive global premiere numbers and Nielsen ratings that put the show on par with Stranger Things Season 4. So, like I said up top, numbers don't always mean quality. I always know that. We know that. And quality doesn't always get numbers. I live that. But any thoughts on these stats and figures from an overall perspective, Jennifer, then we'll dive into a little bit more here.
Yeah, I think what was interesting was after the first two episodes aired, actually, it was hard for me to tell what kind of the reaction, the engagement was, because it was so intertwined with Celebration. So this is really interesting that it is. I mean, I'm not surprised it's so high. And now that the dust has kind of settled, it really is dominating the online discussion in such a variety of ways, whether it's memes or quotes or, you know, the scenes or they're just or criticisms. There's so much discussion happening online. So, yeah, this show is doing big things.
Yeah, I said Boba Fett before and Mando before. And yeah, in a way for me, it's not surprising. It's Star Wars. And I think it's going to bring a lot of people to the table just from the start. And whether or not it keeps them is the question, which has a little bit to do with the engagement, the numbers, and how long people are watching and what people are talking about. And you're right. The meme culture is strong in Star Wars and in the world, without a doubt. But this show is generating a lot of that kind of extracurricular promotion, if you will. So you're starting to see it there. Joseph, any overall thoughts?
Yeah, no, I mean, I love that we just keep talking about Kenobi's numbers, because I think I'm still triggered to think that numbers means a phone number. We keep saying Kenobi's numbers, like, yeah, let's give him a call. I think I'm fascinated by this being the new standard of numbers, this the Parrot Analytics. And I always just want to take a grain of salt and say, like, you know, they're a professional company. I'm sure it's all solid data, but also just remembering what it is, like, you know, yeah. Nielsen ratings, like, we knew what that is. Here's the description of what Parrot Analytics does. Parrot Analytics believes in the magic of content and the impact it has on people's lives. The company's mission is to connect content creators with consumers by enabling data-driven content decisions along the entire value chain.
Welcome to Daddy's America's Diner. Now here's Solo. Yes.
Oh, exactly.
There's
exactly.
Some synergy in that statement.
So I just always want to take a step back and go, like, I'm sure these numbers are correct based on whatever metrics they're using. But also remember that the metrics are kind of hidden from us unless you're an expert in this field of what exactly they're measuring and how.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that fully.
But I think for me, I'm thrilled, obviously, to hear that the engagement is good. It makes sense to me that just in general, the combination of the power of these legacy characters, as much as we debate how much should we be spending time on legacy characters, how much should we be moving on, the power of them is undeniable when you got Kenobi, Vader, and then surprise Leia driving a show. And then I always think it's a big deal that, you know, Ewan McGregor is a massive movie star returning to one of the roles that made him famous, because multiple roles made him famous. So I think I'm glad to see that the power of those things is actually translating to engagement. But then I think even with this little bump up from, you know, 39.2 to 40%, I think it indicates ongoing good word of mouth. And obviously there's been the criticisms and there's been some gnashing of teeth with Star Wars fans. And I think some of that is sincere. I think some of it is disingenuous, just people on social media trying to create fights for various reasons. But in general, for myself, on my own social media feeds, I've seen just generally positive or at least curious. Like, at least I'm really engaged and I want to see where this goes. So I think it makes sense to think that this is being, you know, engaged with a lot more than other streaming shows.
Yeah, I agree that there. And kick back to you, Jen, if you need to say something else there. But the numbers, what they mean at the end of the day, I'm alone on my couch and don't care about the numbers. I'm going to watch. Right. So, but it's important. It's important to track, but I personally don't want to ever believe too much of the hype. Right. Like I'm always aware, meaning the numbers hype. I'm always wary of that. Cause then I can be like, aha, see, we've won the day. And then don't get cocky, kid. Don't get cocky. You still got to work and put some good shows out there, which I think they're doing. But I like your analysis of the analysis there, Joseph. Jennifer, any final thoughts on the overall view?
Yeah. One thing that I think was really interesting that I saw this past week was the amount of emotion that people were talking about, like how many memories they have tied to these characters. And so obviously getting those scenes that we got directly tied to the prequels, I just saw people like literally saying like, I still can't get over that. I'm crying. I'm emotional. I just saw so much of that, that the Mandalorian and the Book of Boba Fett, it, I don't really think that it had that kind of like that type of nostalgia in that way. I mean, it just was really, it was really neat for me to see how emotional people were getting. Cause that's how I feel about some, you know, some of these other characters from the original trilogy. And so it just was like, oh man, this is cool. I'm getting to experience it a different way, and seeing their joy brought me joy. But I feel like that was definitely a bigger part of the online discussion this past week. So.
Okay. The power of the prequels, it definitely can't be, you know, overestimated here. Even my own home, like we love them here, and I love the prequels, blah, blah, blah. I can have all those discussions as a Force Center pundit. To sit and watch the smile on and even kind of almost tears on Grace's face, seeing Anakin turn around. You know, what that means to entire generations, why we celebrate entry points here into Star Wars here. We're going to have a question about that on our Q's episodes about, 15 years from now, what we might be discussing around the sequels. I love that kind of stuff. And I think you're right, Jen. A lot of it, and it's not just, it's not cheap nostalgia glasses stuff. It's deep emotions. It's why we're here to discuss Star Wars, why we love it.
Yeah, the power of Hayden. There was one, I was trying not to dive into places where there might be a lot of conflict this weekend, but I broke and saw a discussion about the de-aging. And when I went into the comments, I expected to find nothing but pain. But I honestly found a ton of people going, hey, maybe it was on purpose, that because it's from Vader's memory, that he's not remembering himself accurately. And other people going, I don't care, it was Hayden. And it was far... far more positive than I normally see on that kind of discussion. I was really surprised, and I think it really points to the power of the prequel relationship that Jennifer's talking about.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Sorry, Jen, I cut you off.
No, I'm just getting emotional because I'm thinking about Hayden's performance was so freaking good. It was so good. Like, I thought, we've talked about this. How are they going to top it? Every single actor, I'm getting really into it. Every single actor brought it. They brought it. And not only did they bring the emotional depth, I could tell that they were enjoying being there, being these characters, being together. It was magic. It was really magic on screen. It was magic for us as the audience, because it's what people had been talking about. Like, when are we gonna get him? When are we gonna see Anakin and I was gonna say you and Anakin and Obi-Wan back together, right? Everyone was waiting for those flashbacks. Yeah. And it was like, oh, they gave it to us in the best way. It was like, Star Wars caviar. And I've never had caviar before, but it was just perfect, delightful, top tier, top notch.
Oh, this is great. We're discussing the emotions behind the numbers as best we know. And as Joseph said earlier, a lot of these numbers are kept in vaults. Like, you'll never really know a lot of these things.
Well, I can interject just real quick on the numbers. The other thing that I'm still fascinated by is we're still in a new period of time where we don't know what these numbers mean, because network streaming companies haven't decided what they mean. Like, there's lots of engagement, but does any number matter right now but subscriptions? Or is this, since Disney Plus is also, like a lot of streaming services, adding an ad supported version, are they looking at this as going like, great, well then this will be a real way to get ads that we can put them on this show, you know? Are they going to monetize the show going forward in any way with a movie release, like there was that rumor, or finally do physical media? Like, how these good engagement numbers are going to translate into what it means for this show, or for more of this show, or for experiencing this show in a different way. That's just all brand new, unexplored, you know, country.
Not too long ago, during all this like YouTube stuff, the explosions of the early 2010s, I remember one friend's like, this is like all new. Films and TV have been around for 50, 75, 100 years. We're just learning what to do with all of this. And even though we're learning at a rapid pace and so much changes, but that's the thing. There are so many changes. 3 years ago, were we worrying about Disney Plus subscriber numbers? No, we'd be like, you know, just starting to hear about that stuff. So I think that's a very valid point too, about the numbers there. So the MCU's Ms. Marvel, a well-received show, to be clear, is off to a slower start numbers-wise. And I think it's important to note only because this is the first big dual release of Star Wars and Marvel shows on Disney Plus dropping at the same time. So does this, you know, this is, feel free to discuss anything about Ms. Marvel too. But does this affect any thoughts we might have for future Star Wars shows overlapping? Do Star Wars and Marvel always have to be separate? What about different nights? That's the one I just keep yelling. There's seven nights to choose from. Let's dive into this. I think it's interesting to note because both shows well received, but Star Wars is dominating right now, and there might be a lot of factors to that. But we got two good shows at the same time. What do you all think here? Joseph, we'll start with you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I literally, we're in sync, Ken. I guess we were just designed to be a grumpy middle-aged people together. I literally yelled at my television this weekend, "You know, there are 7 days in the week." Yes. And had a nice conversation with my wife about it because it's frustrating. You know, Kenobi is a priority because of how much I love Star Wars and because of the podcast. But I'm a big MCU fan. I really enjoyed the first episode of Ms. Marvel. I really want to watch it with my wife. And if it were on any other night, it would be appointment viewing for my wife and I. Mm. And since it isn't, everything gets out of whack and it's hard for us to like schedule and find time to stay caught up with it. Yeah. But if it was Kenobi on Wednesday and Ms. Marvel on Friday, it would be our, you know, Friday night priority. So it's really, really frustrating from just a personal perspective. And then currently Andor and Bad Batch are scheduled to overlap. Obviously they change things. And that's, to me, that's just really, really frustrating because I think it's going to lead to unnecessary competition. Mm-hmm. If they're on the same night, there are going to be a million Twitter polls that just want engagement, not even from, you know, hardcore Star Wars fans, but people who just want engagement saying, which is better? Which are you choosing to watch first? Mm. And it's going to set up needless competition in my opinion. And it makes it harder for podcasts and YouTubers and TikTokers to really give quality coverage to both shows.
Yeah. And I'm with you on, yeah, again, some content program manager ran some sheets. They printed it out on a dot matrix printer, and they're like, it's got to be Wednesday. Got to be Wednesday. Got to be Wednesday for both. And hopefully they change. I don't watch the MCU as much, obviously, but I do try to keep up with some of the shows and whatnot. And to me, it just doesn't seem fair to Ms. Marvel, which is trying to do some, you know, important, wonderful things in MCU and up against Kenobi. That's just going to be tough. That's going to be tough. It's not Iron Man. You know, and I just don't think it was fair to the show. But I don't follow the MCU as much as you, Joseph, so I don't speak out of line or say anything wrong. I don't know. It just that's the frustration I had. Just like, seven nights.
Yeah, it's not like and it is really difficult when it's like, as many of us have kind of jokingly, maybe seriously said, the Obi-Wan Kenobi show is like episode 3.5 of the Skywalker saga versus a new live action character that you haven't seen on screen before. Is really, really rough. And then the other bummer to me about it is that, you know, a lot of friends that I'm seeing are getting a little burned out on MCU because they're putting out so many shows and movies. And the response to that first episode was everyone that I saw in my little sample study of real life friends on social media was like, wow, this one is amazing. This is great. Love it. So I feel like if it had a little bit more separation from Kenobi, it would be making even more noise.
Yeah. That's... Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of something really intelligent to add to that. It's just me nodding going, Great podcasting. Jen.
I think it's a real shame. And I'm not sure what the decision was behind it. I think you're right, Joseph. Again, it was just like there was obviously a lot of planning. A lot of stats were ran. Yeah. But and maybe they thought that the Ms. Marvel show would kind of skew younger, perhaps. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I do think it has hurt it. I don't want to say a lot, but I think it has. Like, I love the Ms. Marvel comics, and I have not watched the show yet because I haven't had the time. It's been all about Kenobi, and that's frustrating. And I think that if the Ms. Marvel show had been on its own kind of track, even just another day, it would have given that time for word of mouth to build online. And so you get people who are maybe like on the fence about it or maybe not hardcore Marvel fans would be like, okay, I'll check that out. Mm. But when you have so much content already and then the whole conversation is around Kenobi, well, everyone's going to be like, well, I'm going to spend my time checking out Kenobi. And especially now during the summer months when more and more people are getting out of the house, in theory, they're not going to have as much time to, you know, between Stranger Things and all these other shows and all this other competition. They're going to pick and choose what they want to watch. So, it's a bummer. And there's just, what do you do, right? You can't totally stagger them because there's just so much content and we want that content as Disney Plus fans. But at the same time, if they overlap too much, I mean, oh my gosh, I don't even know about The Bad Batch and Andor, you said? They're the same night?
Right now, I mean, yeah, but the announced premiere dates is Andor on Wednesday, and then the Bad Batch premiere date is on Wednesday too.
Now,
given the fact that, you know, there are, you know, millions of copies of Vanity Fair with the wrong premiere date for Obi-Wan Kenobi that will forever exist.
That's true.
You know, we do know that they change things, and, you know, and maybe this is something where they need to hear back from viewers to hear the real experience. You know, the numbers might say this is a great idea, but I feel like the majority of the fan reaction so far that I've heard is that we don't agree with the numbers. Mm-hmm. And so maybe it will change. But right now, they're scheduled to be on both released on Wednesdays.
Yeah. As far as like some of the content going forward, I'm not an expert in this, but we've all kind of been in some sort of meetings with people with ties on pointing to your numbers about the future of your programming. You know, this is why maybe I don't want to believe, when I say I don't want to believe the hype too much about the Kenobi numbers, it also means I don't want to believe the hype of too much of a show like Ms. Marvel, which is ranking number 9 out of the top 10, right? Which, by the way, is still top 10. I don't have a show in the top 10. And, you know, so I don't want anyone in a suit to look at that as a sign of what to do or not to do going forward with a show like Ms. Marvel. That's where the numbers start to scare me, you know?
Right.
It's just like,
yes.
And set it up. Give it a better chance is my uneducated view on it.
Yeah. I mean, and who knows? Maybe it is not a numbers decision. Maybe there's some other factor. Maybe it has something to do with international releases or somebody lost a bet. Who knows? I'm not in the room. I don't know. But if we're guessing that it's numbers, that's part of the reason that I want to like look up like, okay, what is Parrot Analytics? Let's not just take these numbers. And you know, that part of that mission statement is the company's mission is to connect content creators with consumers by enabling data-driven content decisions.
Things
like that makes me feel like, this is a Star Wars story. This is, you know, Disney Plus is choosing to use the targeting computer and they need the spirit of Obi-Wan to say, no, there are 7 days in the week.
Yeah.
Slowing and organic.
And forget creating shows or being a writer, content and all that kind of stuff. All three things we've done for long times in our careers. But just even as a fan, where, you know, Twin Peaks, the first go around, who cares about the numbers? Let it go. You're telling a great story. Let the show move on. And it's just the nature of it. It's a business. I get it. But that's why I sometimes don't like to focus on the business side. I think business is sometimes the enemy of art, but they have to work together. And if you're a young creator out there, take a business class or learn to promote. like it's all there. But yeah. It's fascinating stuff. And I love, you look at it more into Parrot Analytics is great because that's mission statement alone gives me hives. Someone in the office has sat everyone down and said, we've got to ideate today. And then that's where Ken starts to leave Collider and walks away. It just drives me crazy. So
you don't have strong opinions about your entire value chain?
I need my value chain.
Value chain. Oh my gosh.
Oh, Ken shivers quietly. That's great information. Final thing here though, but then again, I'm not blind to the reality and the power of numbers and subscriptions and engagement. It is, if you release a show and no one engages, did you release a show at all? I understand that. So we will be certainly, we're going to be discussing this more, but there are already rumblings from cast members and the director, Deborah Chow, about more Kenobi storytelling, despite this season being clearly conceived as a standalone story. How clearly? They're saying that in their quotes. but the reason I said we're going to discuss this more, I don't want to speak for you two, but personally, like I just want to see the show end. I want to see the finale before I really have a deep thought on, do I want more? I'm very happy with the series, but it is a one-off standalone story in its conception. So I want to see how I feel after that there. So we'll just discuss this more there. But thoughts on this, what I'm saying, especially with this high numbers, do you think this will drive a second season? All those kind of fun things, Jennifer.
I mean, I think it can drive a second season, but should they? I don't know. Because like you're saying, we got to finish and see how they end this part of the story. If it lends itself to more, great. But I do wonder, because I feel like the big draw has been the relationship between Obi-Wan and Anakin slash Vader. So then are you going to bring Vader back for more episodes? Like, unless they've left that door open, I don't know how that will work out. And I thought that they had made it really clear. This is a limited series, blah, 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 right? And then I think it was at Celebration where Ewan was like, if you wanted a 7, 8, 9, 10 or something like that. And everyone went, what? There's going to be more? Is he teasing that because he knows that fans get excited, or because he really, they have ideas for where this is going to go for more episodes? I don't know. It's hard to know right now, but I guess we'll find out soon enough how it's going to, how this season potentially, air quotes, is going to end.
Yeah. But the Ewan and Hayden, Vader versus Kenobi. Yeah. I mean, it's the marketing. So yeah, you're not wrong thinking of how this story ends this season could affect, you know, what you would even want to do in a second season. So I don't know. Joseph, you are obsessed with Obi-Wan Kenobi. Running the podcast obsessed. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think this is a great way to close this conversation, because this is where the numbers really matter, right? This is where suddenly we can be smart Alex about the value chain. But that is how decisions get made. And numbers are the reason we aren't talking about Solo 3 coming soon to theaters, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so the numbers do matter. And I think, you know, us being excited about them maybe reflects how much we want to see more Kenobi. I'm with you on definitely wanting to see where the show ends. I think for myself, because I'm obsessed, I'd be happy to see another season. The thing that I wonder about is I think it would most likely be a little bit lower stakes than Kenobi protecting Leia while fighting Vader, which is about the highest stakes you can get in Star Wars in some ways. I think what's intriguing to me about it, and like you said, Ken, I'll keep this short so we can talk about it more. I love every choice they've made with Kenobi. I love seeing him in this show, slowly reawakening to hope. But I think if he ends this show in a place of a little bit more hope, a little bit more resolve to be like, yes, I should protect Luke, and that is being a Jedi, and I am, this is hard and not perfect, but I am still a Jedi, that you have, you've ended him in this place where, is he a little reawakened to wanting to help people? And how can he balance that while also being utterly devoted to protecting Luke? And if he is a little bit more, I've reconnected, I'm still haunted by the tragedy, but I've accepted it, I've faced it, and I'm moving toward the future. It also just means spending quality time with a little bit of our snarky, grumpy, witty, you know, going to a bar to get some information, possibly Kenobi. And that's intriguing to me. I'd watch 6 episodes of him bartering with Jawas and fighting a few water pirates. I would happily watch that. I would campaign for that. Yeah. But I do worry about it, a second season taking a step down in stakes, and whether or not that would work with the general audience.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely absolutely right there. And again, we'll see if the last line of this series is, I have 90% of my hope. I need to find that 10 more percent. And then maybe we've got an ongoing story here. I mean,
Kenobi, the last 10% coming soon to Disney Plus.
My pitch right now would be, whether it's Deborah Chow or bring in, I would love Bryce Dallas Howard to do like the spinoff being Leia, young princess of Alderaan. Like, you got a great Leia. Like, yep. I want to see some more years. Like lead it up to Claudia Gray's book. Do that. I know there were some rumors of the Reva spinoff. We don't know how that story is going to end yet. That would not be something I would be opposed to at all. It's an interesting character with interesting backstory. But, you know, you got this home run of a casting with young Leia. I don't want that to be the end of her run as Leia. So we'll see.
Do you two have any interest in the Kenobi Quinlan Vos buddy comedy?
Yeah. Now, see, now you're talking. Now you're talking. Yeah. Yeah. There, look, hey, go. A movie of the week, right? We all grew up on movies of the week.
Oh, you know?
Heidi, Singing in the Hills. I remember that one. Let's do a Disney Plus Star Wars movie of the month or something. I don't know. I don't care. That'd be great. Kenobi can fight water pirates and be snarky and debate the best Jawa in the world.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Jed, any final thoughts there?
No, I think that's great because I worry too about like what are the stakes going to be? I mean, I look, Ewan McGregor, I could watch him doing anything, just hanging out in that cave all the time. He makes it interesting. So, but yeah, I do worry about the audience. Will they be into it or are they going to be disappointed? Because everyone was waiting for those flashbacks and like, oh, when are we getting the flashbacks?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then once they got the flashbacks, they're like, now I love this. Now I'm into it. It's like, okay, well, what are you going to do then if they have more episodes on that? I don't know. But I like the Quinlan Voss. That'd be fun. Okay. Yeah. I think that would get fans excited.
Yeah. There you go. Or even The Path, a show called The Path. We'll move on here. My final pitch. I hope Joseph likes this one is whatever happens in this episode this week, the show's over. Kenobi's like, I need 10% more help. So he grabs a friend and grabs a speeder and goes around the galaxy and just takes a big speeder trip around the galaxy.
Oh, you
know,
yeah.
You know, just whatever what's that motorcycle show called that he does? Long Way Down or whatever.
Oh my
Yeah, Long Way Round, Long Way Down. Yeah.
And then he slowly works his way back to Tatooine.
Love it.
Absolutely. Get him on a space motorcycle.
There we go. All right. We're going to take a quick break before we do have our Force Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. And gosh, Ken, you got to change your copy. All right. I'll try harder. We should recommend something else, Joseph. What do you have for us today?
You know what? I'm going to recommend the book. It is an EU Legends book, Kenobi by John Jackson Miller. Now that the Kenobi show is almost done, it's really fun to compare and contrast. And that is an example of it's a different canon, but it is an example of the kind of scale of story that is possible for a Kenobi season 2. So I think it's an interesting one for fans to check out right about now.
Great choice. Download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. All right. Quick break. On the other side, more news and a look back at Star Wars history on ForceCenter. Stick around.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Force Center. We're taking a look at Star Wars news of the week. Some news, as always, the joke around here is news will break Tuesday after we release the episode. We'll have a story here in which we actually acknowledge, no, looks like we know something's going to come on Tuesday based on something we're talking about here, but we wanted to talk about it nonetheless. Let's start here with this news headline, Get to Know Your High Republic Phases. Plus, we got some info on the novel Convergence. As we know, the High Republic publishing initiative is being rolled out wonderfully in multiple phases. We are wrapped up with phase one. We are racing towards phase two. And the High Republic has been on a little bit of a break as the era gets ready to pick up the steam and head into phase two. But little tidbits of news emerged at Celebration. Character designs and whatnot. And now we have the details on Zoraida Cordova's upcoming adult novel, The High Republic Convergence. The book's release is now November 15th and will feature Jedi Gela Natai being forced to work with the, quote, puffed up privileged party boy of one of the chancellors named, the character's name is Axel Greylark. Oh, I like that. As they work to uncover the truth behind an assassination plot of two star-crossed lovers from the warring planets Irem and Irino. So thoughts on this plot, this new era, and maybe for Jen, this is to you. How does this all sound from a distance? We've talked about a little bit here. I know you have not been, knee deep in the High Republic, just out of necessity for life and other things. So Jen, I'll start with you. What does this all sound like to you from your point of view?
Well, this book, the plot sounds great. I love the difference in the relationship between these characters. It sounds like it's going to be actually a lot of fun. And then I started thinking, well, can I dive into phase two? I'm still on book one. I'm on book one, phase one. So, and we know that this takes place in a different timeline than phase one, but I do feel like there was a time where you guys were knee deep in Star Wars Rebels, and I just would sit there going, I have no idea who these characters are, what this plot is, feeling very left out. Now, obviously, I'm a part of the Star Wars Rebels conversation, so I know I can make it happen. I just have to dedicate the time, and I'm looking forward to it because I think there's so many passionate High Republic fans, and that gets me excited to learn more about that part of the galaxy, if you will.
No, that's a great honest look at it. And yeah, even going back to your Rebels conversation then, it's, I don't know, it's like me in comic books. I'm always nodding when I hear friends talk about them, Star Wars comic books. I'm like, yeah, I think I remember that. I don't know. It's just,
right.
It is reality. It is a little bit, as George Harrison once saying, it's all too much. It's all too much, but it's a good much. It's a lot of fun. And yeah, just want to get your thoughts on just even that pitch and what it is. But Joseph, your overall thoughts on this new book and as we race into this new era here, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I really hope that people can jump in phase two, because what a great way to be able to feel like, hey, I can get in, and there'll be some references and that I'm not quite getting how that's going to connect to the thing, but whatever, but you can just read it and then, jump back to the phase one books. I hope that's true. I'm very excited about this. I really, really like the cover. I mean, a huge attraction of the whole High Republic era is just, you want to spend a bunch of time with different Jedi? And like, yes, I do. So seeing a new Jedi with dual purple lightsabers, just the cover has that's cool. I want to read that. What's she going to do with two purple lightsabers? That's awesome. But then the description, I'm really intrigued by. Already, this seems like a book with a really strong theme about duality, which is a really interesting concept in Star Wars. That I like that it's centered on these two local planets who are in conflict. And these are obviously planets where some significant stuff happens in phase one. So you already got that, like how you're going to see how it connects, how we got to where we are in phase one and where we might end up in phase three. But I love the idea of two local planets in conflict, because I feel like that it doesn't have to be a whole galaxy at war to be Star Wars. Mm. And that's just something we've talked about a lot when we're talking about what could the new movies be? What could the era be? Like, it doesn't have to be the whole galaxy, a whole system at war. I think if you'd be in the middle of that, you'd be like, that feels like plenty of war. That feels like high enough stakes for some fun. So I really like that scale of conflict and kind of hope to see more of it in Star Wars across timelines. And then, yeah, that the character perspective has also got this real duality of a buddy cop comedy as well.
No, but yeah,
of the dueling perspective of a Jedi who is all about, you know, duty and responsibility and being partnered with somebody not only who is full of privilege, but somebody who, in theory, being the son of one of the chancellors, this Axel Greylark, what a great puffed up privileged party boy name, should have a little bit more depth of respect, right? So that's really interesting and gets to some ideas about getting to see in this timeline, what is that delicate balance between the Jedi and the Republic? So tons of ideas, tons of great kind of duality stuff. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, especially as we go back. And as Jen said, this book is, as a reminder, set generations before the High Republic era of Phase 1. That itself was, what, 200 years prior to Phantom Menace? And now we're going back, what is it, 100 years, 150,
Joseph? I believe it's 100 years, yeah.
100 years, right, yeah. Yoda will still be there. That's all we care about. Now, one of the things I loved in the description here was the galaxy and Republic itself are described as experiencing growing pains with limited resources despite big ambitions. One of our favorite things about the High Republic era Phase 1 is that kind of, I keep always described as that post-war America, build the freeways type of vibe, the good and the bad and the ugly of all that, and a chancellor with some good intentions, Selena. So, and how do you unite the galaxy? All those things that we've just really loved. And that's just a real general sweep through the themes. There's a lot of bigger things in there and deeper things in there. But this is, I don't know, just exciting to me of Galaxy trying, but a galaxy that can't afford to, or at least can't afford to do it right. And how do you get the people on board? I'm excited about that. Jan, I'll again go to you from a distance. How does that feel to you?
It feels very familiar, right? It's a theme that we see throughout Star Wars. It's what I love about Star Wars, is seeing people struggling to overcome. How are they going to achieve their goals? How are they going to rise up? Who is going to be emerge as leaders, or maybe even unlikely leaders in the galaxy? This is why I'm like, I really want to read this story. Is it going to be okay? Am I going to be totally lost? I don't know. I guess I should just go buy the book and find out and start it, because this to me is the type of story that I really enjoy. I think it's going to suck me in and get into it right away.
I think it's a great question. I think it's a great question because I'm just, you know, thinking about Phase 1 overall in my head here right now. Like, you could start with this one, and then Phase 1 would truly be like a prequel to this era. You just get to experience it just in a little different order. But I don't think it would take anything away.
Okay, I might do it. I might do it.
Yeah, and then all roads lead to Phase 3 and beyond here. Joseph, your thought on what does anything in this excite you as it does me about the description of the galaxy and the Republic?
Yeah, no, I continue to love the frontier idea, the idea of, you know, a little bit of Star Trek, you know, exploring brave new worlds meets Star Wars in this idea of, you know, knowing that the Jedi have the greatest of intentions, but they're encountering cultures who maybe don't want their help or have a slightly different cultural perspective than the Jedi. And the Jedi are trying to do right, but also trying to figure out how to be respectful of cultures. And it sounds like from some of the hints in Phase 1 that they're going to have some stumbles there with the greatest of intentions. And then on the other side of the Jedi, you got the Republic in this description of it growing pains with limited resources despite big ambitions. It really suggests to me some great sort of political storytelling of the Jedi probably are just like, great, we'll connect to more places, see how they visit the Force, see how much even bigger this galaxy is, and find new connections and try to help people. But politicians and people with money are probably saying, how can this planet benefit me? You know, I've been rewatching The Wire, which is just a great show that just really goes through individuals' attempts to do right by other individuals, but being utterly stymied by the system because the system is broken because everyone within the system is looking out for themselves. And I think there could be some great storytelling in that direction. With the frontier idea of like, oh, hey, Jedi, you want to help that planet that's having a conflict? Cool. They have a resource, and I would like to start a new city on that planet named after me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Great, great point. Yeah. And what's been a lot of fun about this series here. We've also learned that Kevin Scott's Path of Vengeance, currently set for a May 2nd release in 2023. Oh my gosh, the calendar's turned. Oh my gosh. That's scary. And this is looks to be the end of phase two. Yes, release dates can change, all that kind of stuff. But how are we feeling about this rollout? And Jen, especially for you, because it just keeps rolling. It's so hard to maybe go back. And how are we feeling about just the overall project right now here, Jen?
The train has left the station and I'm running to catch it, like Stowaway. And here's the thing that I think about is how is this all going to connect to the Acolyte? I know that they've been saying, oh, no, you know, it's different. But is that going to happen at the end of phase three? Is that right? Perhaps?
Roughly, yeah. It's always been vague because I think the connection's vague, I think.
Right. But yeah. I think that they're building up the High Republic for a reason, not just for books. I think especially because of how passionate people are about this and how much discussion there is online about this and enthusiasm. I think that it's going to become something else. I don't know what, but that also gets me excited and wanting to catch up because I want to be a part of whatever, but be a part of the joy when they're like, "And we are going to have a new live action trilogy based on the High Republic books." Right. Mm-hmm. We don't know if that's going to happen. But it does make me think, and it makes me want to get on that train, that fast-moving train, as quickly as possible.
Yeah. No, I get you. And look, yeah, I think this has been, you know, conceived as this big, you know, literary initiative and the publishing side. You numbers speak. Hey, keeping in with the themes today and excitement. It just, again, I know not every Star Wars fan has the time to get into these books, and not every Star Wars fan who has read these books loves them, but you're right, Jen. Had a brief moment to catch up with Laura Kelly, the Force Toast podcast, and this is, she loves this era, and asked her about the panels at Star Wars Celebration, and man, the joy that just exploded out of her, just the smile on her face about the High Republic. And again, the High Republic panel didn't have a ton of information. It wasn't, you know, it was just things here and there. But that, also her love of things like Rebels and stuff like that, and we talk about the power of those kind of properties. So they might want to you don't want to build on that and like Joseph's describing the, how can this benefit Star Wars? But let's just build on it naturally and build on the love and the joy of it there. Anyways, Joseph, your thought on the overall, the rollout so far, which I look at those dates, it's still a lot.
Yeah, it's still a lot. I still haven't caught up with all of the comics from phase one. So in a way, like that's shorter than phase one to pack in a lot of content if it's starting in November and ending May of the next year. So I think one of my reactions is just like, okay, clear some time on the old calendar.
Right.
But I'm intrigued that maybe phase two is designed to be a little bit shorter. So it is like phase one really established it. Now phase two kind of it helps us understand why the world, the galaxy is the way it is in phase one. And then we're still charging through this big climax in phase three, where it's still the story of defeating this big bad that they were introduced to. I'm intrigued by phase two in its length and excited to also, I'm on the train, but in risk of falling off and having to run to catch up.
Yeah.
But in terms of, you know, the value of it, I think that was another little drop in the sea of drops from those Kathleen Kennedy interviews of saying like, yeah, no, the publishing side is an inspiration. Mm-hmm. And I think it really is like, yeah, no, it's clear that it would be beneficial for the publishing side to go off and do their thing. And if it ends up being successful at this level, hooray. But I feel like it's successful at a level of how could they not take notice? Mm-hmm. And at least now they have the framework to be like, okay, well, here are the major events. Here's some of the major players. It's not even about adapting what's come before, but now the era is defined.
Yeah.
Right. And I think by defining this era, it's even defining some things about how the old Republic might look in new canon. That's one of the more powerful things to me. Mm-hmm. Like if they're approaching Star Wars storytelling of this history exists, as Kathleen Kennedy has said in interviews, for, you know, centuries and centuries and centuries. If we start defining them, we'll really know what sandboxes we're playing in and what the technology is like and what the conflicts are like and what the Jedi philosophy is like. And it just starts to, I think, just gives a little bit more better pillars for telling different stories in different eras.
Right.
I love that take on it because, you know, choose my words carefully here. I love the books that come out now. We're reading Shadows of the Sith. I'm about halfway through that book. And, man, I'm loving what Adam Christopher's doing with a lot of the things we've read and played and watched and kind of connecting some dots or having just fun with this sandbox you can talk about. But you can't deny so many of the books and even comics have always built back towards the movies and shows that have already come out, right? We have a lot of just from, you know, old trilogy, original trilogy to prequels to now, we know what room we have to play in, but it's harder to answer some of those questions. We could, you know, Chuck Wendig, I had Luke stuff in there in the aftermath. They made me take out the Luke stuff. We couldn't touch that yet. You're right. With the High Republic, you're now building, you know, you're building the track. And now you're going to have maybe even an easier time to go, now we can do a movie, and it is right during this time, and there's going to be little connections to the book. And again, I'm saying choose my words carefully because I don't want this to lead to the plan conversation, which is tiresome to me and just was never going to be what people thought it would be anyways. But this is in its own way, just a large sandbox. We know here's the boundaries, here's what's inside. And you could have maybe a real fun time creating live action content in that.
And I, with the quality that this story, this whole big story has been so far, I have no doubt it will have a satisfying conclusion, but I'm really curious in phase three to see like what very popular characters are left standing with plenty of room to continue their stories.
Pretty much Oppo Rancisis, pretty much Oppo, Yarl.
He's popular with me.
Yarl and Yoda. There we go. Final quick little story here today. New Lego Star Wars adventure is coming. And I think maybe I heard about this. I don't know. The reason I saw the Instagram post and I giggled and I thought, I want to talk about it. So we have a little tease of this Lego Star Wars summer vacation trailer. You want to see Palpatine getting suntan lotion rubbed on him? This is your day. All right. It's a little tease. Later today, when we release this episode Tuesday, a trailer for this upcoming Lego Star Wars summer vacation movie will be out. So this is now the third in the ongoing Lego series, the movies on Disney Plus. There's still the short form content, the adventures, the stuff that's on there. But how do we feel about this ongoing series, Jen?
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited because I loved the Terrifying Tales. That was so much fun to watch. So I'm thrilled that they're making more of these specials. And it reminds me of when I was a kid. You know how like your favorite TV show would have like the summer special where they would go on summer vacation, like the Brady Bunch, Facts of Life, Down Under. I love that Star Wars is following that tradition. Does anybody remember that?
The Facts of Life.
The Brady Bunch, yes. Facts of Life down. I remember Facts of Life. I do. I remember their Say No to Drugs episode, but I didn't remember them going Down Under.
Oh, they
I
did.
Almost, spit up my water.
Oh my gosh. And I, for the longest time, I wanted to go to Australia because of it. Now it's too far of a plane ride. Yes. So I'm thrilled that Star Wars is going on summer vacation.
I really do love this. This is completely just fun and cheeky, but we'll have some fun things in there, as the first two have had. The holiday special was wonderful. It was really heartwarming, as well as silly. And Terrifying Tales, yeah, we took a look at it here. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun stuff in here, Jen, thanks for that. Joseph, what do you think of this series? And will we spit out our water on your flashbacks?
Just don't drink any water in case I say something dumb. No, I love it. I love these. The Lego is its own little Star Wars universe within the larger Star Wars universe. I like the comedy, the sense of fun, and that there are always like heartfelt messages, like the Freemaker Adventures was a great Star Wars story, and it continues to be in the holiday special and Terrifying Tales. I'm mostly just excited to see the framing device. I love in this tiny teaser, just the shot of it was credited in the subtitles to Kylo, but that looked very Ben Solo like. So just that you can do fun things with the characters, and I'm excited to see like is this 3PO telling campfire stories about all the various summer vacations he's been excluded from? Who knows? I don't know. And then I'm also just excited that they've done the kind of the winter holidays. They've done the spooky fall holidays. Now they're doing summer. So now they have to do spring. It's some sort of like spring fertility rites special, like Palpatine's Wicker Man. I can't wait to see that in Lego.
This is great. Yes. Love that. Love that idea. Jen, Force Center, official Force Center parent time. Have your kids been able to see these specials? And if so, do they connect with any way, or is there a right time? Or what do you think about the that angle there?
they love all the different Legos. You know, there's Frozen Lego shorts that they really love. They're all just so great because, they play on that double level, right? Like I watched Terrifying Tales with my then 6-year-old and she was laughing and laughing. I was almost crying with laughter with some of the 80s references. Was it the Wookiee spot? I can't remember which one with all the Lost Boys references.
Yes,
it was so funny. And she was like, okay, you're laughing a little bit too hard. But that's why it's so much fun, right? And I also like that it's a way for them to participate in the Star Wars experience without me having to talk about canon or this and that. It's just fun entertainment and they get a little bit of the Star Wars magic that I love without having all the other stuff. And also it's kid friendly, so I don't have to worry about them getting too scared or anything.
I love what you said there of just allowing them to participate in the Star Wars experience, which is so many things. And that's just why we talk about entry points here in Star Wars, but just all things around Star Wars is part of that experience. And I love hearing that for your kids and you.
Yes. It's a fun thing for a family affair.
There it is. As you all take your vacation down under. With not just on Catalina, take that boat all the way out to Australia.
About here in Australia?
That is a look at Star Wars news. Before we leave, we'll have a little bit of fun with this week in Star Wars history, looking ahead to Star Wars Past. Let's go back to June 24th, after the movie came out, June 24th, 1999, and the release of one of the most beloved pieces of Star Wars parody material ever, Weird Al Yankovic's The Saga Begins. Of course, a twist on Don McLean's American Pie. Don McLean has admitted he's almost sang the lyrics for this song in concert during this time, an older interview talking about that. The song was famously written by Weird Al based on plot leaks from that thing called the internet and one high-priced charity pre-release screening I just was reading about that he paid to go because Lucasfilm would not let him see an early version of the film. So he went to a charity pre-release screening and then he learned, the leaks were pretty much right. I only had to change 6% of the song, he said. This song was part of that 1999 episode one hype train that entire year, but it has never been relegated to that time, to be clear. The song remains a favorite for fans, and at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim, a sing-along prior to the Mando Plus panel was experienced by Joseph Mark Ellis and I and highlighted the prequel generation's love for the song. It was a wonderful experience. Mm-hmm. So what is our relationship to the song now, and did it help or hurt you back then on The Phantom Menace in 1999? Joseph, I'll start with you because I think we were both kind of humming and singing along together there that day.
I was. It was a fun group experience to see how much people loved that song. I really like it. I think for me, it's weird that it was nostalgia when it came out in 1999 because there's just something kind of melancholy about the actual song, American Pie. You know, the topic's not super fist pumping. The tune itself is melancholy, but it was nostalgia in 1999 with suddenly Star Wars is everywhere. Again, it was that way with the special edition, but even huger with Phantom Menace in 99. And it made me nostalgic for when I discovered Weird Al's Yoda song and was like, this is, my mind was blown, right? Probably one of my early introductions to loving comedy. So I was kind of nostalgic in 1999 for the original trilogy era. And now when I hear this, when we're at a panel for this, the exciting new Star Wars television show, and I'm, you know, feeling nostalgic for 1999 and remembering specific moments. That was the 99 was also the first year of the convention I mention often that I perform at every year in Minneapolis called Convergence, and everything was Phantom Menace themed. You know, a lot of the people involved with the convention are dressed in Jedi robes for all of the introduction ceremonies, and I might remember people just kind of bursting out into song, just singing at a cappella in the hallway. So nostalgia is what I think of.
Absolutely love that. Absolutely love that. Jen, your relationship to the song then, now, and going forward.
Then it really, it gave me kind of the lightheartedness that I was looking for. Because as I've talked about, I wasn't necessarily the hugest fan of The Phantom Menace. But the thing about the song that's so great is that it's fun, but it's respectful of Star Wars. Into The Phantom Menace. And I think that really kind of, it healed me in a sense. And now I was at a charity event a Star Wars charity event a few years ago, and there was, you know, some industry people there, and Weird Al came out and he sang that song. First of all, he's a fantastic singer, fantastic performer. I'd never seen him live. And all the people in the audience started singing it. I mean, these were like, you know, cool cats, and they're into it. And it was really kind of, it was really magical. I was like, okay. But yeah, Weird Al's bringing the fans together back in 99 and today.
I love that tale. Yeah, and look, I grew up a Weird Al fan. I also grew up about 15 minutes south of Cal Poly, where he went to college, and it's just kind of, we claim him, right? He's just one of those, we claim him. And Ozzie Smith, the Hall of Fame shortstop, he went to Cal Poly too around the same time. A little bit before. So, and I just, you know, UHF was a weird influence on that part of my comedy brain. So I always loved it. But yeah, I always bring up the did it help or hurt kind of conversation, because I was so defensive of the Phantom Menace in 1999, despite at the time thinking, maybe Lucas missed, right? It was a weird fight in my own brain of what I was going through. And so even something like this, I love Weird Al, was just like one eye on it. Like, are you making fun of this? And so therefore, I don't know if I ever truly engage with it as much as others. In fact, I'd say I'm the opposite, where this song comes on, I start singing American Pie. it's a weird thing, including at the Mando panel. Maybe they did it before every panel there that weekend. I don't know. Those entertainers might have done that. I don't know, but it was fun. It was great. It was joyous. But then I found myself doing the old like, and I couldn't remember the lyrics. And there's these people next to us in the row are just screaming. They're trying to get the camera over there to sing along, and I had a lot of fun with that. I had a lot of fun with kind of what you're talking about, Jen, of like suddenly in the middle of a business conference, people in suits and ties are singing along to the song. It's not that I didn't know the love for the song existed. I just didn't know it existed to that degree. So that was fascinating to experience firsthand too. There you go. Weird Al. And yeah, Weird Al's a great singer. There's a great video out there of him at the George Harrison tribute singing some Traveling Wilburys songs. And he is awesome. Wow. Yeah. Love his
name. So talented.
Yeah, he is indeed. Mustache or no. All right. That is a look back at Star Wars history. June 24th, 1999. The saga began. We are out of here today. But don't you worry. We'll be back with more programming. You can follow us and find us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. You can also see us on Instagram and on YouTube. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. And we are available in a lot of spots, including Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. And you can support us at patreon.com/ForceCenter as well. If you'd like to find me, I'm on Twitter at KatNapsok, or you can go to my website at KatNapsok.com and find links to all the things I do, like Pop Rocket Radio and other things like that. We always do like to highlight charities and causes out there. There's always so much to choose from. It can get overwhelming. And so focus on where you want to go, causes, politics, anything. And right now, I mention this one every now and again, but we are in that time in Southern California and just California and the West in general of forest fires. So I always highlight cafirefoundation.org, which is a nonprofit organization that provides emotional and financial assistance to families of fallen firefighters and the communities they protect. Unfortunately, you know, there's not one fire season anymore. I get that, but saw some news reports of some dry lightning coming away in the West here. And that always kind of, you start to see it more and more, and they can be devastating. So that's one charity of choice for me, the cafirefoundation.org. Jennifer, where can they find you?
Oh, that's great. You can find me at Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at Jennifer Landa, and TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138. I don't have a charity or organization to spotlight this week. I will be back next week with one. My brain was left in Catalina, I think.
It's okay. You are out there with the goats and the buffaloes and the golf carts and the sea and
my Buster favorite Bluth. Wild animal.
Yeah, yeah. And Buster Bluth out there somewhere as well.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Some of my favorite episodes of Rest of Element. All right. Justin, where can we find you?
Yeah, you can find me on all the social media, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for more, including links to my other podcast, Obsessed with that Obi-Wan Kenobi episode, if you're interested in that. I want to continue to highlight the organization Vote Forward. You write letters to other voters trying to encourage them from a personal perspective to use their power and vote. I think we've talked about before, it can be hard to stay inspired and it can be difficult to continue to feel like voting makes a difference. I feel like there's an interesting thing going on here in Los Angeles that I want to highlight briefly. The Vote Forward letters that you're writing right now are for the midterms. But obviously, many states are having primaries. We just had a primary here in Los Angeles where something kind of historic happened. A person named Rick Caruso kind of did a 180 on what he claimed he was about, told people that he had beliefs that he didn't, and then just proceeded to pour more money into the mayor's race of Los Angeles than anyone ever has.
Yep.
And if you know anything about the history of corruption in Los Angeles, that's pretty amazing. More than anyone ever has. And the people said no. He spent a bonkers amount of money, and it didn't translate to getting him over the line to do an automatic win. And he's not, there'll be another election, but he's not another race, but he's not currently in the front running position that everybody expected that amount of money to buy, because voting does make a difference. The people's voice does matter. And I just wanted to take a second to highlight that, because I think we need to concentrate on moments where we can see it, we can feel it, that voting is power. It does make a difference. So if you're interested in checking out the Vote Forward program, you can go to their website, votefwd.org.
I love that. I've spent a few mornings walking around the properties with Rick. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. That's all I'll say. I love that. Yeah, and actually, you know, I want to highlight one of my former coworkers, Caroline Menjivar, pulled off a bit of an upset, too, in the California 20th district out here. She's going to go in the runoff with the son of a political dynasty, and her grassroots campaign got her into a runoff almost in first place. She's a close second, and it's been exciting to watch. Someone I know, someone who used to work for me for a while, my old mall job, just was a wonderful coworker then, and just to see her where she's at and making a difference. It's fun. It's fun to actually watch voting in action. And I get what you're always highlighting every week, Joseph. It's easy to be overwhelmed. There's so much stuff every day, even just choosing one charity focus on. So I believe in the power. I love when you highlight that, because it does work. It does work indeed.
Padme. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, yes. Padme would agree. All right. That is it for this week. We'll see y'all next time. This was Force Center.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.